بسم الله. All right. بسم الله. بسم الله. بسم الله بسم الله بسم الله
بسم الله.
Okay. All right. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. بسم الله والحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله وبعد. ربي اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي أمري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقهوا قولي. ربنا زدنا علما يا كريم. اللهم افتح علينا رحمتك وانشر علينا حكمتك يا ذا الجلال والإكرام. اللهم افتح علينا رحمتك وانشر علينا حكمتك يا ذا الجلال والإكرام. اللهم إنا نسألك علما نافعا وعملا متقبلا ورزقا طيبا يا رب العالمين. Last time we stopped at ayah number 26 of Surah Al-Kahf, and we said that there were a few points that were missing or remaining that we would mention inshallah, so we'll begin from here.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. قل الله.
Did we stop here? 26. Do we stop at this?
26. We stopped at 20. I mean, you finished 25.
Okay. Okay, yeah.
قل الله أعلم بما لبثوا له غيب السماوات والأرض أبصر به وأسمع ما لهم من دونه من ولي ولا يشرك في حكمه أحدا واصبر نفسك مع الذين يدعون ربهم بالغداة والعشي يريدون وجهه ولا تعد عيناك عنهم تريد زينة الحياة الدنيا ولا تطع من أغفلنا قلبه عن ذكرنا واتبع هواه وكان أمره فرطا فقل الحق من ربكم فمن شاء فليؤمن ومن شاء فليكفر إنا أعتدنا للظالمين نارا أحاط بهم سرادقها وإن يستغيثوا يغاثوا بماء كالمهل يشوي الوجوه بئس الشراب وساءت مرتفقا إن الذين آمنوا وعملوا الصالحات إنا لا نضيع أجر من أحسن عملا أولئك لهم جنات عدن تجري من تحتهم الأنهار يحلون فيها من أساور من ذهب ويلبسون ثيابا خضرا من سندس واستبرق متكئين فيها على الأرائك نعم الثواب وحسنت مرتفقا.
بسم الله والحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله وبعد. So we stopped last time at ayah number 26 where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says قل الله أعلم. Say that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He knows the best. He knows best. بِمَا لَبِثُوا, how long they stayed, i.e. the Ashab al-Kahf, how long they stayed in the cave. لَهُ غَيْبُ السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ, for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he has the knowledge of what? The unseens of that which exists in the earth, heavens and the earth. أَبْصِرْ بِهِ وَأَسْمِعْ, Most translations will say how perfectly he sees and how perfectly he hears. There are two ways to translate this ayah. One of them is, as the common translation that is found, which is أبصر به, that how acute and how perfect is Allah's sight, and how perfect and absolutely acute is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's hearing. That's one way. The second meaning is أبصر به. The word به, the ضمير of ha, the pronoun of ha, it refers to the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So the meaning is أبصر بدين الله, i.e. attain and gain foresight through the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. i.e. أبصر به. به what? Be with what? Use your sight with what? i.e. figure out and get things and clarity in your life and gain foresight with the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. أبصر بدين الله. So the ha is replacing the word deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَأَسْمِعْ, and use the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to be able to understand and hear that Allah. Okay, so two meanings. أبصر به, how perfect is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with his knowledge and sight. And the second meaning is, use the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَلَا يُشْرِكُ فِي حُكْمِهِ أَحَدًا. And if we think that anybody else has any say, if anyone else has any share, or they are able to influence the commands of Allah, the affairs of Allah, حُكْمِهِ, his commands, nobody has any share in that. He decrees alone, free of any other influences on him. Over here, we end this whole story of Ashabul Kahf. Now, there's an important lesson for all of us over here, which is that the ulama, they say that, how do we know that, you know, this entire story is what it proves us that Allah is capable of bringing us back to life. Great. So the entire purpose of the story is Allah is capable of bringing us back to life as he did with Ashabul Kahf. He showed it to us 300 years, they're in this earth, sleeping, and then brings them back. They go back to sleep. So with that, the ulama, they said there are three things that we need to take away. Number one is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he is capable of all mumkinat. Allah is capable of all possibilities. If it is possible once, it's possible again. If your existence was possible once, your existence is possible again. As a matter of fact, it is much bigger task to create something the first time, not the second time. So if you came into existence, and you came into existence, and I came into existence, and we all came into existence once, and it's a mumkin, because you're a mumkin, you're a possibility, you came into existence, then why is it so difficult for this mumkin to happen again? Right? So number one, Allah is capable of all mumkinat. Number two is annahu ta'ala alimun bi jami'il ma'lumat min al-kulliyat wal-juz'iyyat. Allah is fully aware of all the little and grand details of all the possibilities. So he has absolute ilm of all of this. And third is that if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is able to do something for a moment, we say in kullu ma kana mumkinan husuluhu fi ba'd al-awqat, if something is possible for a second, then it is possible for eternity. If Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is capable to put us to sleep and take our ruhs away, we all believe that, right? When you go to sleep, our ruhs are taken away. If that possibility exists for a second or for a few hours, then it can exist for even after a longer period of time. And the removal of the ruh and bringing back of the ruh is absolutely possible. That's the summary of aqidah-wise, what we need to learn from this story. Right? Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then the entire conversation shifts The story ends. Now Prophet Sallam is being spoken to directly by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says to Prophet Sallam, wasbir nafsaka. Hold yourself patiently. Wasbir, hold yourself patiently. Stick patiently. With who? Ma'alladina, with those yad'una rabbahum, they call on their Rabb. بِالْغَدَاتِ وَالْعَشِيِّ يُرِيدُونَ وَجْهَا. They call on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the evening and at the night, in the mornings and the evening, in the daytime, dawn time, and at the time of sunset. All they want is the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I'll first do the translation and then we'll go and unpack it. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَلَا تَعْدُ عَيْنَاكَ عَنْهُمْ تُرِيدُ زِينَةَ الْحَيَاةِ الدُّنْيَا. And don't overlook them for once. Don't overlook them. Don't neglect them. These people who are so connected to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, don't neglect them. Why? تَعْدُ عَيْنَاكَ عَنْهُمْ تُرِيدُ زِينَةَ الْحَيَاةِ الدُّنْيَا. O Prophet of Allah, don't ever neglect them in the process of seeking dunya, or in the quest of seeking the beauty of this dunya. وَلَا تُطِعْ مَنْ أَغْفَلْنَا قَلْبَهُ عَنْ ذِكْرِنَا. And do not follow the one whom we have made his heart heedless from the remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَاتَّبَعَ هَوَى. And what happens when you are heedless of Allah? Then you follow your desires, right? وَكَانَ أَمْرُهُ فُرُطًا. And an affair of such person is of extreme total loss. Okay? Now there's a lot here to unpack. Number one, wasbir. The word sabr, the Arabs, they used to say that sabaratid dab, that an animal was patient, i.e. it ate less food and provided more than what it was given in terms of output of effort. Okay, that called sabaratid dab. Ay habasat bila ilf, that the animal sat and it was able to provide all the service that you needed from the cattle without being able to provide the ample sustenance that it needed. And from there comes habsun nafs. Wasbir nafsaka is to hold our nafs, to have control of our nafs. So first thing we know is suhba as-saliha, pious company, is an affair that requires patience. Okay, it's not an affair that, you know, oh yeah, it's okay, we're going to be in the company of pious people, it's going to be so nice, it's going to be a chill session. It's not a chill session. When you're in a company of scholars, when you're in the company of murabbin, and when there are multiple of them, it is an affair of patience. You have to. Why is it patience? Because now you have to be measured. You have to be controlled. You have to hold yourself in a certain manner. You have to speak in a certain tone. You have to behave in a certain manner. Right? I remember once we had a friend of ours. Actually, he's a really good brother, but like he's super jolly and always cracking jokes And oftentimes, like, you know, even in certain places where there's a certain decorum to be kept, it's very difficult for him to keep like that. So I remember we were having lunch with, we had an Al Maghrib class or something. And then afterwards, two, three speakers, this was in the UK. So we were there and this one person, he just carried on making jokes and stuff. So one of the scholars that were there was myself, three, four other people. And we coincidentally were teaching different classes on the same campus. There was an Al-Maghrib class, there was a class that I was doing, there's a class somebody else was doing, and so we all went for lunch together or dinner together. So this person, he was like, I think we were 40 or 50, maybe 40, 50, and then he was in the end. So one of the scholars, Sheikh Akram Nadawi, he's like a very famous, well-known scholar in Oxford University, an alim by all regards in our world today, of the Western world. Sheikh Akram was with us. So he saw that person, like, you know, like he's constantly like, you know. So Sheikh is like, come. He's like, no, Sheikh, I'm perfectly fine. No, come. No, I'm perfectly fine. Come. And he made him sit between himself and Sheikh Omar Suleiman. And then I was on the other side and there was two other scholars. And this person, his demeanor changed. He was like, Have some food. Like completely. A few minutes later, she's like, Sheikh, it's way too much pressure to sit between the two of you. I need to go. So he got up and he left.
But that's that wasbir nafsaka, that you know that when you're going to be in a company of people who carry themselves in a certain manner and a decorum, you have to present yourself, and you have to, it requires that patience. And from here comes musabara, i.e. it is not easy for us to come to these sessions. But we come here because we get company from one another. Everybody is here for one purpose, to be able to understand the kalam of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala better. But then, right when you're about to do that, the biggest thing that shaitan attacks you with is it will give you 1,000 things it will remind you need to do right now. This is the attack of shaitan. Those of you have to fight. No, we're going there for the class. We're going there for this. Right? So, wasbir nafsaka. Now, who's being commanded? Prophet. Who is the best example of piety for us in the world? Prophet. Right? So he shouldn't have any difficulty in these gatherings. Right? Second, who is the value add in this majlis? Whenever we go to suhbah, when we go to these places, we all benefit from one another. Rasulullah is the value add. But he is being commanded, rather than the rest of them being commanded, vis-a-vis through him, that even him who is at the pinnacle of piety and perfection of ubudiyah, even he is being commanded to go and sit with those people who remind, who are constantly in the dhikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala day in and day out. So then what about you and me? And we definitely are not the value add in those gatherings, right? We actually take away value from those gatherings. Second, who are these people? There is a backdrop to that. When Fath Makkah happened, Akhnas and few of the other Quraysh Makkah, Mu'allafat al-Qulub, these were the people who came to Prophet ﷺ and was like, I want to accept Islam. Okay, take 100 camels. Okay, I'm a Muslim. Next person, take 50 goats. Oh, I'm a Muslim. These were mu'allafat al-qulub. They accepted Islam because there was like a floodgate that opened. They had no choice but to become Muslim. So Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was like giving them a lot of, it's called mu'allafat al-qulub, to soften their hearts for Islam. Right? To soften their hearts from Islam. So there's a lot of very interesting stories that happen in Fath Makkah. If you read that chapter with Rasulullah and the people who accepted Islam outwardly, but they still hadn't really accepted Islam. Okay? So one of the stories is, Akhnas and a few other people, they came to Prophet ﷺ and they said, look, if you place us in the sadr al-masjid, sadr is the chest, i.e. put us in the front of the gathering, let us sit and let us be like with you, give us this position. We are the Qurayshis, like we're the leaders of Qatif and Thaqif, and like we are the leaders. So give us that high status at Makkah. And then it says, لو أبعدت هؤلاء, people like who? Abu Huraira radiallahu an, Salman al-Farisi, Juraij, all of these Sahabis who were not very rich, but they were on the nafaqa, i.e. Rasulullah was taking care of their sustenance. He would provide food for them, but they were there as tulabul ilm. They did not have a lot of money. So they said to Rasulullah, Ya Rasulullah, take these people, the poor people that you have, that are always close to you, put them, abadta anhum, get them away from us. Lajala snack, we will sit with you. Fa'inna riha jibabihim tu'zina. They wear these jubbas on top of their clothes, and I mean, they're not well kept, and there's some smell that we're not accustomed to. So the smell that comes from their clothes, tu'zina, it causes us pain, and we don't like that. So what happens? When this ayah was revealed, they were speaking to Rasulullah like that, and this ayah was revealed. This is one of the points that I mentioned at the beginning of Tafsir of Surah Kahf, that there are one or two verses that were revealed in Medina, i.e. the time after Hijrah. This is one of those verses where there is an ikhtilaf because we know for sure that this incident of that conversation took place after Fath Makkah. So this ayah is alluded to that, and every mufassir have said this ayah is alluding to that fact. So this is one of those ayahs that was revealed in Medina, although it was part of Surah Kahf, but this particular incident was revealed there. Okay. So what happens? Rasulullah ﷺ, when this ayah was revealed, he got up immediately. And he said, قَامَ رَسُولُ اللَّهِ لَمَّا نَزَلَتْ, when this ayah was revealed, قَامَ رَسُولُ اللَّهِ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمْ مُبَاشِرْ, he got up right away, left all of these rich people. يَلْتَمِسُهُمْ, he was looking for all of these people that Allah talked about, يَدْعُونَ رَبَّهُمْ بِالْغَدَاتِ وَالْعَشِيِّ, all of the Ashab al-Suffah, he was looking for them, found them. حَتَّى أَصَابَهُمْ فِي مُؤَخِّرَةِ الْمَسْجِدِ, he found them at in Haram, all the way at the back. Because a lot of the Qurayshi people, that the new people that accepted, they would just push them back. You're just poor people, just get back. Don't get close to us. Just go back, just go back. And Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam went and sat with them. And he said the following. He said, Alhamdulillahilladhi lam yamutni. Praise be to Allah that Allah did not take my life, did not take my soul. Hatta amarani. Until he, my soul has not been taken, until the command has come to me. أن أصبر نفسي مع رجال من أمتي معكم الحياة والممات. I have been commanded to be patiently sit with you, and with you is my life and with you is my death. So that's the context of why this surah was revealed. Now, where do we find these people? These are usually the people that you'll find, the regulars of masajids. We all know one or two of those individuals that you always see them, right? You always see they're the first ones to open the masjid. They're the first ones sitting there. They're the first one, last ones to lock the masjid. Nobody knows them. They're not on the board of a masjid. They're not on any significant positions. They're just one of those no-name people that quietly come, open the door, go in the masjid, quietly go, close the masjid, and leave. Those are the people that we need to seek out, and their suhbah. Even though they don't have significance, even if they don't have significance in the world. يَدْعُونَ رَبَّهُمْ بِالْغَدَاتِ وَالْعَشِيِّ يُرِيدُونَ وَجْهَا. They seek nothing but the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They seek with their attachment with the salah, no positions in a board, no positions in the masjid, no positions in the society, no ranks amongst the people. These are the silent goers of the masjid that exist in every masjid, and that have no, they just come, pray, and leave. Those are the people we need to seek. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says after that, and the word yuriduna, it's a really interesting word. We'll maybe elaborate a little bit on that. The word yuriduna, or the word yuriduna, the root word is what? Who knows the root word? What are the three letters? Ra, waw, dal. Okay? Murawada. Okay? Rawada, murawada. Ra, waw, dal. Okay? And based on the conjugation, the waw can turn into ya and stuff, or alif. And from ra, waw, dal comes the word irada. Irada is something, i.e. desire, or, you know, irada is basically when you desire something, or you want to head in a certain direction. Okay? But in Arabic language, irada is mabni, it is built on few things. It says irada is murakkaba. It is murakkab, i.e. there are three elements in irada. Number one, shahwa. There is a burning desire inside. Number one. That shahwa is coupled with haja. Shahwa, burning desire, coupled with haja, which is what? Need. Number three, amal. And the hope and the desire to reach it. Okay? So burning desire, need, and amal, hope to reach it. Those three things combined creates the word irada in the Arabic language. So these people, yuriduna wajhahu. Okay, that means what? They are engulfed in the first element. Their entire existence is for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Number two, they understand their need for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And number three, they have hope that Allah will take good care of them when they return back to Him. That entire thing is encapsulated in the word irada. ولا تعد عيناك عنهم تريد زينة الحياة الدنيا. Do not look away from them, do not neglect them in hopes of seeking and desiring the luxuries of the world. Would Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam ever desire luxuries of the world? Then why mention this ayah? Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, for us, beautiful. Vis-a-vis through Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is saying, why do we not want to sit with these type of people? What is the first obstacle that comes in this way? Pleasure of dunya, desires of dunya. Those people have a lower rank, lower status, lower, like, you know, they don't have a status in the society. So sometimes they're like, yeah, it's okay. Let's keep it aside, right? How do we know that? And then, by the way, these people have tons of barakah. They bring so much barakah to our masjid. They bring so much barakah to our gatherings. They have no significance, but they come with lots of barakah, right? And subhanAllah, I know of a sheikh who used to run a masjid, and he said, during COVID, some of the board members came to him and said to him, and said, Sheikh, you know what? Let's do a taraweeh of the rich people. You know, our top donors? Let's do a taraweeh for them. Because, you know, we can only have 20 people in the masjid. So the big donors, you know, they have the haqq. They have given 100,000, 150,000. So let's do a taraweeh just for them. So the sheikh is like, I don't think that's right. We should open it up for every Muslim. But, you know, at the end of the day, he was, you know, not convinced, but forced. And he did that for the 20 top donors of the masjid. And obviously, they were expecting the masjid that, you know, mashallah, we invited the 20 people. They're the only 20 people selected for taraweeh and stuff like that. And they said that was the lowest fundraiser that they have ever had in 20 years of the masjid history. Where the taraweeh were all those people, the top donors that have always donated, none of them donated that night when they brought them for taraweeh. Why? Because the barakah was lifted. So the sheikh is like, you know what? We still have one night of taraweeh left. He's like, all of you guys are not coming. And he said, he did an open i'lan, and he said, anybody, the first 20 people to sign up. And he said, subhanAllah, we got the regular musalli crowd. And that night, from the regular musalli crowd, we collected more than we collected from the top 20 donors. So it's not about pleasing and pandering to the top donors. It's about the barakah that a person is not capable of bringing any donations, but he brings to your doorsteps, he brings to your gatherings, he brings to your homes that barakah. So that's why we sometimes neglect such individuals. We don't give them special parking spots, right? But then, you know, if there is any dignitary ever attending a masjid, what happens? Oh, wow, this spot is reserved for this person. They're going to come. But the regular musalli, who has that, right? Who cares about him? He's just the regular guy. Okay. So why do we do that? That we sometimes look at the zenat of hayat al-dunya, the trinkets of the dunya, and then we overlook these people. وَلَا تُطِعْ مَنْ أَغْفَلْنَا قَلْبَهُ عَنْ ذِكْرِنَا. And do not follow the one whose heart has been أَغْفَلْنَا, has been made heedless. The word غَفَلَ basically means, غَفَلَ is the قِلَّة or depletion of two elements. Number one, تَحَفُّظ, cautiousness. You know, you don't want to protect yourself. You're not cautious about protecting yourself. And number two is yaqadha. The person does not have a conscious mind, aware mind about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In language, generally, you will find that the words that begin with ghain, okay? Generally, the words that begin with ghain, they have a meaning of what? Covering, okay? Give me a word in Arabic with ghain. Ghabara, ghubar, something that covers dust. Ghar, that is covered. Ghaib, that is covered. Ghamarat, planning under the darkness of the night. Ghati, to cover. So you'll see that the ghain has this overarching meaning all the time. So gharak, to be drowned and the water covers you. Right? So, ghafala is that state that we are become heedless of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. How do we know that we have ghafla in us? That's a more important discussion. And some of the scholars, they said, number one, if you find absence of zikr in your life, which means what? You're sitting in a doctor's waiting lounge, right? Do you occupy that time consciously or unconsciously with taking out a tasbih or doing zikr, or you read the Reader's Digest? That's sitting on every doctor's, I don't know why they sit in every doctor's office, but Reader's Digest, right? What do we do? Or we do it, do we take out our phone? Do we get occupied with that? When we have moments of solace, when we have moments of no work, when, you know, your flight gets canceled, and now you're sitting in the airport for another 2 hours, what percentage of that time do we spend in productive dhikr-related activities? And what percentage of time do we occupy by sometimes downloading a movie and watching it, right? They're like, oh, I'm not going to get it on the plane, right? Unless you fly Delta, then you will get Wi-Fi for free. Absence of dhikr, Abdullah did that. It's, oh, free Wi-Fi in the plane. Wow. Absence of dhikr in your life, okay? Why? من أكثر بذكر شيء اهتم به. The ulama, they say, if you have abundance of dhikr of something, you really take care of it. For example, what is the price of gold today? Who knows? What's the price of gold today? Anyone?
When I was in Jordan this summer, it was 48 dinars
per hour. 48 dinars. When was in summer? Like, so this summer? Okay, June, July. What's the price today? Eh, huh? Did you just check? Your wife checked for you? How? Bro, that's like some serious connection with a wife. Yeah. She checked this morning?
Yeah. This has been an ongoing conversation, we can tell.
So, if you ask what is the price of a gold with a gold trader, does he know? A gold trader always knows. He's like constantly checking. Constantly. Why? Because he is muhtam. He is concerned about gold trade. So he always remembers. So man akthara bi dhikri shay'in. If you constantly remember something, you'd start taking care of it. If you constantly say Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, la ilaha illallah, la ilaha illallah, there's no way that you will not start taking care of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He will become important for your life. Then the second part is when a person is told that this is haram or this is halal, how does your heart respond to it? When somebody says this is not allowed, and that not allowed was not known to you till today, and you have created perceived beliefs about it being allowed, How does that simple, not allowed, how does that settle with you? Okay. And I'll give you an example of that, right? And this is something that happened when one of my trips. So, you know, a sister came to me and she said, you know, I want to go to work, but my husband says I can't. Do I have to listen to him? I said, in Sharia, you have to. I'm not going to sugarcoat it. No fiqh, no madhab, nobody's going to say. Now, obviously, there are adab in which the husband has to treat the wife. That's a discussion I need to have with the husband. But the first principles of that is that. She's like, no, but this is my life. And I said, but Rasulullah ﷺ told you that if a woman has five traits, she will enter Jannah. In whichever gate of Jannah she wants. Do you want to go to Jannah? She's like, yeah. I said, one of those conditions is, من طاعت بعلها. Pray five times a day. All of so I said, now I can't sugarcoat this to you. Now, do you have examples of guys who take over advantages? 100%. And that's a discussion we need to have. But we can't change our deen for the pleasure of one or the displeasure of others. And sometimes guys come to me and say, Sheikh, can you do a khutbah and, you know, say that, you know, it's absolutely haram for a woman to work? No, I can't do a khutbah on that. There were women that worked at the time of Rasulullah SAW. They worked. They were actually in battlefields. They took care. The woman that took care of Sa'd ibn Abi Waqas when he died, she was taking care of him. She wounded. She was there on the battlefield. Obviously, with the permission of her husband, but she was there. She worked. So I can't say a blanket statement just to please a guy that this is haram. So the ghafla part of it is going back. When I hear something which is halal and haram, and I have a perceived belief, how does my heart react to that Allah's command? Do I say, yes, sami'na wa ata'na, or do I like, man, I need to figure out if there's another opinion on this? Right? How do I react? Third is when sins are committed, when we commit a sin, do I feel remorse? Do I feel nadam, nadama in my heart? If any of these three exist, then Imam Ghazali used to say that fa'alam, that you have a disease of ghafla in your heart. If any of these three exist in a person's heart, then know that there is some element of disease of ghafla. May Allah cure our hearts from ghafla. Imam Junaid, he used to say, yes, question, go ahead. Sure. Point number one, absence of dhikr in your life. Absence of dhikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in your life. Point number two, when a halal and haram command that is new to me and that contradicts with my perceived beliefs, how do I react? And number three, when a sin is committed, do I feel a remorse or not? If any of these three traits exist in my heart, and may Allah cure all of our hearts from these diseases. Right? If we have these, then we have a moment to reflect with our heart with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Last part, Imam Junaid used to say, تَأَمَّلْتُ فِي ذُنُوبِ أَهْلِ الْإِسْلَامِ. Imam Junaid was who? He was one of the murabbis. He is actually all of the movements today of the madaris of Sufiya, all of these Sufi madrasas, like every single one of them, whether it is Naqshbandi, whether it is all of the Sufi madrasas, they all trace their roots back to who? Imam Junaid. Right? He was, you know, the early first three generations. So Imam Junaid used to say that I, after studying the nufus of people and Muslims, ta'ammaltu, I pondered and I looked at what is the greatest sin. I looked at somebody committing zina. I looked at somebody lying. I looked at somebody doing ghiba. I looked at all of these sins. So he said, ta'ammaltu fi dhunubi ahlil Islam. I pondered and I said, what on all the sins of the people who are Muslims. فَلَمْ أَرَى I did not find a sin. مِنْ ذَنْبٍ أَعْظَمْ From a sin that is greater than the sin of ghafla. Than the sin of heedlessness. Okay? And this is who? This is Imam Junaid in like the, you know, first three generations. Like imagine us today. Like, where is our ghafla? We're like not even, like, today if you would look at us, we're like, yeah, these are mushriks. I'm serious, like, you would look at us, you would like, you know, these are not even Muslims. Like, if this is, he's saying that in the first three generations that, subhanAllah, there are too many ghafil people today. Where are we on that? Right? Plain. May Allah give us hidayah. Okay? So, ولا تطع من اغفلنا قلبه عن ذكرنا. For those, you know, that are here for, you know, or if you just a reminder, remember we said if we come across a concept, the purpose of this tafsir is not to jump ayat. If there's a concept of ghafla, then I will try at least my best to be able to encapsulate a high level understanding so you walk away with a concept, right? ولا تطع من اغفلنا قلبه. Do not follow the one whose heart has been made heedless. عن ذكرنا from the remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. واتبع هوا. What is the consequence when your heart is heedless from the dhikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? You automatically follow what? Hawa, you automatically follow your desires. And I'll give you a realistic example of this. We were traveling, our family. And when you go from, and again, it doesn't matter what religion for now, if you are grounded to some form of religion, okay? Or some form of an ethos, some form of a religious narrative. That narrative has an effect on your human psyche and the way you behave and the type of ads you put on the highway. So when we drive to Canada, we can actually see the deterioration of religion as we keep driving up, the ads keep changing. So like through Tennessee and through Kentucky, it's like Jesus is coming, you know, lust will kill you. There is no pride in pride. Like, you know, messaging that are like good messaging that we will, Jesus is coming, yes, inshallah, he's coming, right? Just not for you guys, for us, inshallah, right? So all of these messaging, you see that all on the board, right? Do you remember that one? Even the Democrats, what was
it? Even the Democrats are going to accept or something.
Yeah, it said even the Democrats will accept Jesus. But you see the messaging. But as soon as we enter the northern states, the extreme Democratic liberal states, as soon as we go to, like, remember that coffee shop? We are in Michigan. We entered a coffee shop. Profanity. Like, yeah, just like naked pictures of these women, and like it's like LGBTQ flag, LGBTQ flags, because they will censor this again. LGBTQ flags, right? All of this. And then when you come down to like south and you come to the coffee shops, I still remember that this small coffee shop we went to where there was a Christian coffee shop. And then this woman was there, and some guy, random guy, he came in, he was swearing. And she, you know, this lady's like, excuse me, sir, my mama taught me that you can't swear. And I was just like, what just happened? Like this, she's like, I won't serve you coffee if you're swearing in my coffee shop. So we see this ghafla, right? So what happens when our hearts are heedless from the remembrance of God? وَاتَّبَعَ هَوَى. We follow our desires. And those effects of those desires become visible on the society you live in. وَكَانَ أَمْرُهُ فُرُطًا. And the affair of such person is a total loss, total state of loss. What time is it? I don't even remember. 8:47. We can do the next ayah. Any questions about this ayah? Clear? All right. Yeah? Question? Okay. O Prophet of Allah, وَقُلْ. O Prophet of Allah, say, الحق من ربكم. You want to know what the truth is? The truth comes from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. فَمَنْ شَاءَ فَلْيُؤْمِنْ. If you want, then believe. فَمَنْ شَاءَ فَلْيَكْفُرْ. And whosoever wishes, he can deny. Now, this is not a choice. Nobody can come on the Day of Judgment and say, look, Allah, you said in the Quran, believe or don't believe. So I chose the second part. This is in, they call it, you know, this is rebuking. فَمَنْ شَاءَ فَلْيُؤْمِنْ. If you want to believe, go ahead. But if you want to take the other path, you will bear the consequence. It's not like a optional choice to a person to do that. Some people may believe that. No, it's actually in a rebuke manner that Allah is rebuking the people who don't believe. Saying, if you wish, you don't want to believe, no problem. You can do kufr if you want, but there will be a consequences. فَمَنْ شَاءَ فَلْيُؤْمِنْ وَمَنْ شَاءَ فَلْيَكْفُرْ. إِنَّا أَعْطَدْنَا. Indeed, we have created للظالمين. The ones who do kufr, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala calls them ظالمين, transgressors. Allah has created أَعْتَدْنَا لِلظَّالِمِينَ نَارًا أَحَاطَ بِهِمْ سُرَادِقُهَا. This ayah, فَمَنْ شَاءَ فَلْيُؤْمِنْ وَمَنْ شَاءَ فَلْيَكْفُرْ, there's a context to that. The Quraysh of Mecca, they came to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and they demanded. What were the three demands? Okay. They made three demands, the Kufar of Mecca or the Quraysh of Mecca, right? You brought a new deen, O Prophet. Ya Muhammad, jibta bidinin, ataita bidinin, binahjin jadidin. You brought a new way of life. We've never heard about this. So, if you want money, we will give you all of our money. Leave this affair. Let go of La ilaha illallah Muhammadur Rasulullah. If you want leadership, right? La sayyidnak, we will make you our leader. No problem. And if you want women, each one of the tribes will give you the most beautiful woman they have. Wazawwajnak, and we will marry her off to you. Ali ibn Abu Talib, he went and he presented these three demands. This is right, like towards the end. where the battle, you know, and they ended up going to Shi'b Abi Talib. At that point, they're like, they're the Quraysh, they had it with Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So they sent Abu Talib, they said, look, we have made the decision, there's going to be harm coming to your nephew. So go with these three offers and figure this out. What was the answer he said? Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. If you take the sun, and if you were to place the sun on my one hand and the moon on my other, I would not let go of this way. Okay? When we see Rasulullah with all of that, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, with all that struggle and all that difficulty to spread that deen, how easily do we, for little bit of benefit of dunya, are willing to sacrifice, for example, sometimes the jum'ahs of our children, saying, let them go to the school, it's okay. They can pray Zuhr Salah. So many of Muslims, they go to public schools, and the public schools don't have facilities for jum'ah. They don't have arrangements for jum'ah. And those kids end up doing what? Especially when the time changes, they end up not praying jum'ah, because dunya is more important. That same parent will cancel their school, their office meeting, so they can take their child to extra special coding classes or robotics classes or this class or that class, but they will not put their foot down to talk to the principal to facilitate a jum'ah for them. They will not take time. The mothers that sometimes are home, not time to go and volunteer in the school, to be present in the school so jum'ahs can take place. And sometimes it takes one person, one of the convert brothers, convert. He came to me, he said, my son, I have to arrange salah for them, coming, one of the coming school. And I said, let's start a thread with the principal. We sent an email to the principal. I wrote down all the reasons why constitutionally it's you have to provide this. You know, it's one of the rights that we have, freedom of religion. You got to provide this. The teacher got scared. Teacher's like, and then I CC'd care. And this parent is like, yeah, my son, he has to. It's like, how many of these, like your son type, are there in the school? And this school has so many Muslims. Many of them come to that masjid of ours. None of the parents care about Jummah. None of them. This is grade 8, by the way, not high school, my bad. Grade 8. They're all baligh kids. So this now kid has special exemption because his father fought for it. Rest of the Muslim kids, their kids are missing school and missing all of the jum'ahs and stuff like that. And what do we do? Here is Rasulullah saying, I'm not going to let go of my deen, put sun and moon. And jum'ah is the first thing we let go. It's okay, he's still 13. It's okay, he can miss a couple of jum'ahs, no problem. Inshallah, Allah will forgive him, right? So Prophet ﷺ, at this ayah that came, فَمَنْ شَاءَ فَلْيُؤْمِنْ, that this is the context of the ayah. Whosoever wishes, as soon as Rasulullah said this, the ayah was like, Allah said, whosoever wishes, فَلْيُؤْمِنْ, let him believe. فَمَنْ شَاءَ فَلْيَكْفُرْ, and if you choose, then you can have kufr, you can choose to deny. إِنَّا أَعْتَدْنَا لِلظَّالِمِينَ نَارًا أَحَاطَ بِهِمْ سُرَادِقُهَا. We have definitely created for the people who are zalimeen, surdaq. The word suradiquha is a really interesting word. Firstly, it's not an Arabic word. It's a word from Persian. Okay? And the word surdaq was a Persian word that got mu'arrab, i.e. it became Arabized. Okay? There are many words like that that were originally foreign. And then they got trans, you know, Arabs started using it and it became mu'arrab. For example, radio. It's like radio, right? Now it's like radio. It's actually a mu'arrab word. They have like rules of like, you know, dhamma, fatha, mu'arrab and all of that, right? So anyhow, suradiq is something really interesting. So if you ever seen those tents, I'm not sure, like, I don't know what they call them. Shamianas or something, I think, in Urdu. But they're basically like flat grounds, and they will put up these shadi tents where, you know, they'll put these poles and they will wrap around, and to make sure that there are no wind and stuff like that. Sometimes they prefer this, i.e. they will create banks, i.e. they'll get sand or the soil, and they will raise it a little bit. So it's a little bit of a raised earth, and then the pole is put into it. So that the person outside, there's like half of the tent is the ground, and the other half is the pole, and then it wraps around. That tent is called surdaq. Okay. Now, this imagery that Allah is drawing, as one of the mufassir says, is this is a fire pit. So this is, in may Allah protect us, man. So it's Allah has, it's like inna a'tadna, we have prepared for the, i.e. it's like a mockery here. We have prepared for those who choose to do kufr, those transgressors, naran, a fire. Ahata bihim suradiquha. This fire, the wrap around, i.e. they're going to be in sort of a small hole that is dug, and then around it is going to be a four fenced, and they will be in that fence of fire. Ahata bihim suradiquha. Wa in yastaghithu. Istighatha is to ask for water. If they're going to ask for water, Allah is like, yughathu, they will be given water. Istighatha is seeker. So Allah is like, wa in yastaghithu yughathu, they will be given water. But what is the water? Bima'in. They will be given water. Bima'in. Water. Kalmuhli. Water that is molten metal. This water, the heat of that water is going to be at the level of molten metal. Yeshwi al-wujuh, it will barbecue their faces. I.e. as they're forced to drink that water, they will bring that water close to themselves and their faces would burn. And yeshwi al-wujuh, the word yeshwi is to barbecue something, shawaya. I.e. this heat is going to be so much that instantaneously it would burn their faces. May Allah protect us from this. And then Allah is like, بِئْسَ الشَّرَابُ, how wretched and horrible is this drink of theirs. وَسَاءَتْ مُرْتَفَقَ. مُرْتَفَق is again, Allah is mocking them. مُرْتَفَق is basically a place of sitting where you have, you know when you, the majlis al-arabi, the people have that majlis on the ground, and you sit with like a sidestep, and you're sitting like this, and you're resting. So Allah is like, وَسَاءَتْ مُرْتَفَقَ, how horrible the drink that you're given, وَسَاءَتْ مُرْتَفَقَ, and what a wretched place for you to have your hospitality. May Allah protect us from that, man. Ya Rab. We'll stop over here, inshallah, and we'll start from this ayah again next week. Bismillah ta'ala. If anybody has any questions or any comments, concerns, okay. طيب. اللهم صل وسلم على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم تسليما كثيرا وبارك اللهم على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما باركت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد. اللهم آت نفوسنا تقواها وزكها أنت خير من زكاها أنت وليها مولاها يا رب العالمين. اللهم أجرنا من النار. اللهم أجرنا من النار. اللهم أجرنا من النار. اللهم ادخلنا الجنة بغير حساب. اللهم ادخلنا الجنة الفردوس بغير حساب ولا سابقة عذاب يا رب العالمين. اللهم لا تأخذنا إلى جهنم. اللهم لا نفيقها الرجحنم. يا الله يا رحمن وفقنا لما تحب وترضى وألحقنا البطانة الصالحة التي تدلنا على الخير يا رب العالمين. اللهم ارزقنا تلاوة القرآن آناء الليل وأطراف النهار على الوجه الذي يرضيك عنا. اللهم علمنا منه ما نسينا وذكرنا منه ما جهلنا وجعلنا من القرآن يا رب العالمين. صلى الله اللهم تعالى على خير خلقه محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم. بارك الله فيك. May Allah سبحانه وتعالى bless you all. Thank you so much for coming. Let's pray. Somebody wants to give, Isa, go give it then. Huh? Oh, you can.